The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today
FM. Now, in yesterday's programme, we discussed Fine Gael's claims as to the various measures that are to the betterment of the financial position of families, particularly those with school children. A few questions came in from listeners in relation to it. So we've joined now by the Minister for Education, the Fianna Fáil TD, Norma Foley. Minister, thank you for joining us. And just explain, if you could, to start, please, just who qualifies at present in the free school book scheme?
Well, all of our primary school children are availing of free school books, and that has been up and running for this past year. And now come September, our students at first, second and third year at post-primary will avail of the free school books. So that's an investment at post-primary of in around 68 million euro. And it brings, when you add, we'd say, primary and post-primary together, almost 800,000 young people availing of free books and general classroom resources.
So anyone who's going into the junior cert cycle at present should be availing of free books, is it?
That's right. First, second and third year students.
Sorry, does that apply to, because this is a question that came up with listeners yesterday, to fee-paying schools?
No, it doesn't. This is a measure for all those in the free scheme, as it's referred to. There are obviously supports provided for the fee-paying schools in terms of teaching staff or maybe in some instances capital works, but in this instance the free textbooks are not being made available there.
And what about the Leaving Cert students?
Well, so we've taken a very, I suppose, steady line here, and you know, it has been an ambition of mine since I become minister to ensure that we would have the free school books. So we took incremental steps, began with primary school, have moved now to the first 3 years at post-primary. And it is my ambition that we would be able to follow this through for fifth and sixth year as well. But that's a matter for the budgetary consideration. I know there'd be many competing demands in the budget and in our discussions with the ministers concerned, but it is absolutely a priority for me, and it is my ambition that we would be able to see that out. But that can't be confirmed until after budget, and I suppose all other competing demands are looked at and considered as well.
Oh, but at this stage, a nod's as good as a wink, isn't it? It'd be a major shock if it wasn't to go through.
Well, I'll be truthful and say to you, look, discussions are ongoing. There's many, many, demands in terms of the budget in education. This is absolutely a priority, but we've also very significant work being done in other areas as well in education, equally as important, making great strides in terms of special education and the provision of special education classes. We've now more than 3,300 special education classes in the system. We need more, and we do, obviously we'll need to do more work in that area, but it is good to see that we're making that progress. We have 11 new special schools being opened, four of them this September, and all of that happening in these last 4 years. So we also have an ambitious building programme as well in the department. So there's lots happening, all very important, but specifically as we're speaking about the school books, I do want to be clear, it is an ambition to follow that through to senior cycle, to the last couple of years of senior cycle.
But does the money just get diverted from something else to pay for this? Because there have been complaints that we've heard on this programme previously in the primary school sector that the allocation for updating and maintaining computer equipment was cut simultaneously and the money was put into the books.
That's absolutely categorically untrue. I want to be very clear about that. Right throughout COVID and in the last number of years of this government, we actually increased in 1 year, for example, there was 100 million euro given in terms of, digital equipment required for schools, another 50 million euro given as well. So, year on year, there has been investment, and when there has been a doubling of the investment, well, then obviously the following year there, that will not be the case. But it is categorically untrue to say that any funding that was going into the digital aspect of equipment for school was used for the school books measures. That's absolutely not true.
Okay, and just when it comes to digital measures as well, the free school books, does that apply to books that are on iPads and other digital devices?
Well, e-books, yeah, indeed. The e-books are covered under this scheme, and, different schools take different approaches there, whether, e-books or whether it's the textbooks or whatever, but that's a matter for the schools themselves.
Are you doing anything to prevent schools from taking advantage of the fact that the books are now available to parents for free, that they seek then to levy a charge on those families by way of so-called voluntary contributions?
No, absolutely not. I mean, the books are free. This is a measure to ensure that there's equality of opportunity and equality of access, I suppose, to school resources for all children. The voluntary contributions, as you refer to there, are just that. I want to be very clear, and I've always been very clear, you know, no charge can be conferred and imposed on a parent or a guardian for the teaching of the curriculum, for any education in that respect that is provided to children in a school.
So then what punishments are there for schools that do try and do it? Because we will get, I'm sure, plenty of messages in from listeners, as we have in the past, of things like locker keys been not given to pupils because their parents haven't paid this so-called voluntary contribution.
Well, I would be very, very disappointed to think that, you know, an action of that nature, that a child would be deprived of any resource within the school. You know, I think schools, to be fair to them, on the ground are doing tremendous work. They're juggling a lot. They're juggling, for example, the free school books, and we have made administrative grants available to them for that. You know, but they're juggling a lot on the ground. And I think every school, to the very best of their ability, wants to ensure that every child is catered for, and they're very conscious of the individual needs of school, of the children that are in their care, or the young people that are in their care. They're very clear. The contributions are, as you have said, they're voluntary. If a parent or guardian is not in a position to make a voluntary contribution, then that's the case. But education, as laid down by the various curricula that are being followed in the school, that education must be provided for a child, irrespective of their circumstances.
Assuming, of course, there are enough teachers to do it. Every year at this time of year, it's the same story. Not enough teachers. What has been done by the department to try and plug all the gaps?
Well, just in terms of the number of teachers that we have in the system, we have more than 74,000 teachers in the system. That's the highest number of teachers we've ever had, 74,000 teachers. It's an increase of more than 16% at post-primary, 13% at primary over the last number of years, the duration of this government. And, you know...
Sorry, how many of those are on job share, though, or on leaves of absence?
No, these are teachers who are employed and working in the school.
Okay, well then, job shares, because could there not be quite a lot of them on job shares, which means that the number of full-time equivalents effectively is lower?
But either way, if a teacher is on job share, it means another teacher is stepping in to complete their work. You know, so either way, we have a record level of number of teachers in the system presently. Now, notwithstanding that...
What's the level of vacancies?
But again, I said, notwithstanding that, I would know that there will be challenges or difficulties in certain areas. It may well be subject areas or in certain geographical areas. Now, that's the nature of it. I mean, we're a country at near full employment. I always make the case that, you know, there are other disciplines, whether it's in healthcare or whether it's in, you know, retail or whatever. They are also struggling at various times. But in teaching, we have made provision around that. We are proactive in this space and we will do more. So, for example, we are providing a bursary of €2,000 for those who are doing the master's in teaching. We've provided free upskilling courses for teachers in particular subject areas that are of difficulty in terms of finding teachers, whether that's in maths or the sciences or whatever. We've increased the number of student teacher places by 20% over the lifetime of this government. We have almost 4,000 graduates who are coming on stream and making themselves available in education, and 4,000 student teachers almost who are registering with the Teaching Council and making themselves available to the schools as well. So we've post-primary teachers who are now free, should they wish, to work additional hours in the school. So if they wish to do that and they're paid to do it. So we are consistently looking at ways to support where there might be challenges in particular areas or in particular subject areas, and we will continue to do that. But I think it is important to say we have a record number of teachers in the system. And that's largely because, for example, I referenced, you know, special education earlier. We have more than 3,300 special education classes, 19,000 students availing of special education. That is one teacher to six pupils. So that has led to an increase of demand for the teachers in the system, and I think that's a good thing. Do we need more special classes and more teachers working in that space and teachers across the board? Absolutely we do. And so that's why we've increased the number of places for student teachers. That's why we're supporting more and more teachers to come into the profession.
Well, last year, more than 1,700 retired teachers provided substitute cover. You also had many student teachers who haven't yet completed their degrees brought in to teach classes because there wasn't a full-time teacher available. Is that acceptable to you?
Well, the retired teachers, I mean, many of these may well have retired, we'll say in October or September or whatever, and they come back into the school in November, December. I don't have an issue with that. I think if people have the experience and they're willing to come back into the system, I think that's fair enough. Equally so, our student teachers, you'd be aware that they also have school placement and they teach during school placement. And I think the best education for any students is the experience that they will gain when they're in the classroom. So I think it is enormously beneficial both to the students and indeed to the school that might require them, that they make themselves available. I see that as a positive.
But are we going to have a major, are we already having, and is it going to get worse, a crisis in Dublin in particular, where teachers cannot afford the cost of housing, either to buy or to rent, and who prepare, if they are going to teach, prefer to go into the rest of Ireland rather than expensive Dublin?
Yeah, well, look, I want to accept. I know that geographically there are some areas that are much, much more challenging than others, and I don't for one minute underestimate the difficulties that that causes for principals and schools boards of management and that. But look, government is looking across the board at measures to support those who are renting, for example. There's supports being provided there. There's cost of living measures being provided, you know, right across the board as well. So, and, you know, both the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste have been very clear that there will be cost of living measures also introduced in the budget as well to support people. So, look, notwithstanding that, we, as I've said, we do have a record number of teachers in the system. Obviously, we will do all that we can to support more and more coming into the system. And I think, for example, initiatives like the €2,000 bursary that we're providing for those who are doing the Masters in Teaching after they've completed their first year of teaching, I think that's a positive step forward.
Well, finally, one final one on that, so, Minister Norman Foley. We have more and more people coming to the country from outside Ireland who are either not Irish or who may have been Irish who have lived and taught abroad. How much credit is being given to them for the work they've done abroad when bringing them into the Irish teaching system?
Well, all those who have taught, we say, for example, if they taught in the United Kingdom, if they've taught across Europe, their service is recognised.
The Middle East, which is where a lot of them go?
Yeah, it is recognised here. Those who are in non-EU countries, as you've referenced there, at post-primary, there is an issue there in terms of recognition of their service. That is something that is on the table that we're currently looking at. It is recognised at primary level, but that's going back many, 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 many years. But we, you know, that's something that is on the table that we're looking at.
And Minister, one final thing while I have you there. Reports this afternoon that you're considering a ban on mobile phone use in second level schools. Why and how would that work?
Yes, I am intent on introducing the ban on the use of mobile phones in our, particularly in our post-primary schools, because that's where there seems to be most of an issue. Look, there's a huge body of work already being done in our schools. You know, practically all of our schools have policies around acceptable use of mobile phones in our schools. Great work being done in our primary schools, and in particular, the rollout of this initiative from the department around, you know, keeping childhood smartphone free. And I want to acknowledge the work that's been done by parents on the ground in the primary school there, supported by our schools. We're doing work in schools as well, you know, through WebWise, you know, teaching and encouraging our young people how to manage online and be safe online. But I think all of the evidence is pointing towards the need really to make our schools, particularly for our post-primary schools, you know, mobile phone free zones, as it were. You know, the UN really have called for this ban on phones there last year, and they've pointed to evidence really, and all other research is pointing to the fact that where there are not mobile phones in use during the school day, as it were, it improves learning, it tackles classroom disruption, and obviously it reduces cyberbullying. So really, I believe that our schools should be places of learning. They should be places of, you know, conversation and community building, but lots and lots of times at break time, our students are just glued to their phones. I think it diminishes the opportunity in terms of fostering relationships and building community in schools. And equally so, principals tell me, even when they have them in their bags, you know, the phones are beeping and it disrupts learning during class time. So,
but sorry, Minister, don't a lot of schools, and I'm just taking the experience, my own youngest is going into fifth year now at present in secondary school, but for the last couple of years in his school, they have been required each day on entering school to put their mobile phone into a special pouch, which is then put in the locker, and they're not allowed to get it till the end of the school day. Is that not the approach that needs to be taken?
I absolutely welcome that, but that is not the approach across all of our schools. Different schools, and they do have the autonomy to manage this in, you know, as they would see fit. And so some schools have keep it in your bag, others keep it in your locker, others use these pouches. But I think we're in a space where we need across the board all of society to support this notion that within our schools there will be a culture where the use of mobile phones is not acceptable during the hours of school. And schools will have the autonomy as to how they choose to manage that. The department will support them in doing that. But we need a universal culture across all of our schools to say schools are places of learning, schools are places of engagement and one-to-one interactions and group interactions, and the mobile phone disrupts that. And so we're looking to establish this culture of a mobile-free zone within our schools.
I'll put that out to listeners to 087 4100 102. What do you think of this initiative by the Minister, Norma Foley, to ban mobile phone use in secondary schools? Minister Norma Foley, thank you for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.